is it Marlene Jean Renault?
That's right.
Ah, yes. Very good. Wonderful. I want to thank you for spending a moment or two with us today anyway.
No. It's my pleasure, really. I have to actually thank you for taking the time and talking to me.
Oh, no trouble at all. I'm well prepared.
Oh, good.
Well, the title of the book is The Magic of Africa, Campfire Tales and Stories.
Exactly.
And the cover is just outstanding.
Yes, it is beautiful. I was very worried because it's a publisher, America. Mm-hmm. It's an American publisher. And because I mentioned campfire tales and stories, I was so worried that they would put a couple of men around a campfire with cowboy boots and cowboy hats, you know. And because that, of course, is not Africa.
No.
And even the people sitting around a campfire would never wear those type of clothes. See? Mm-hmm. So that I was worried. But when they came up with this cover, I was really so impressed. And as you can see, in the sky, you've got the outline of the continent of Africa.
Yes, it's for those of you, when you go out looking for this book, the cover is very much filled with sky, beautiful sky, and in there you can see a big cloud that is the shape of the continent Africa, and there's a family. I'm not sure if they're a pack. I'm not sure what they call elephants.
Yeah, a family, yes.
Okay, yeah, of elephants, tusks glowing, elegant and majestic in the foreground.
Yes, no, that's true. I couldn't have asked for more. Because this it also represents who the book is for. It is really for family, because it's for adults and children alike. Everybody enjoys these stories. I was really very impressed with the cover, and I just accepted it.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure once I get a chance to read the pages, I think it'll even hit me a little bit harder.
Oh, yes, most probably.
Yeah.
Yes, I do have... I've written one story in there that, in fact, is called Elephant Sounds. And that was our acupuncturist. He was sent up to Kenya and Tanzania for his thesis, finishing university. And he had to study elephants. And every time we went for our acupuncture session in between needles, so we would hear all these stories about the elephants and what he found. It was absolutely incredible. So we, of course, told as many of these stories to visiting people, you know, from Europe, because they're not used to elephants over there at all, like you are here. You don't really know, except those in the zoos.
Is not a fair representation, obviously.
No, not at all.
No
unfortunately. No. It's such an impressive sight to see a whole herd of elephants together.
Yeah.
The whole family.
Now, what was the reason behind the book? You know, why did you decide to write or create this book?
Well, my husband, he was Swiss, but he lived in Africa for many years. He was in Uganda, and the whole of East Africa was his area, and he lived in Mozambique as well before he came to South Africa. And he had so many fantastic experiences, and he always told the stories. And I thought he was such an exceptional storyteller, I wanted him to write these. But unfortunately, he wasn't well enough to do so, and he passed away before. And then in the late 2000, I woke up one morning and just realized, well, that's his legacy to me. I have to write it. And I remembered two stories just so clearly that I immediately put them down on paper. And as I started with the two, the others just started flowing.
Oh, beautiful.
That was really incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
true inspiration then.
Oh yes, absolute mm-hmm. inspiration. And mm-hmm. then I added a couple more that other friends, but it was as if he was telling it, you know, he was there with me telling the story.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And now a man named Otto?
Yes, Otto was his very, very good friend. and he became my, you know, the three of us used to be like the three musketeers, in fact. We would go on long weekends into the wild, and we will do things together. So I couldn't write this without mentioning Otto, that is for sure.
Yeah, a good friend.
Oh, very, very good friend, yes.
Yeah, what a beautiful tribute to somebody's life. That's really neat.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I thought he also deserved it because he was such an animal lover. And he worked for, after he retired, that is, he worked for a small hotel in a place called Pilgrim's Rest, which was the original gold mining area on the eastern part of South Africa, and where quite a number of adventures took place because you had wild animals, tsetse fly, all the type of things that would make your hair stand on end.
Mm.
These things would be the trials and tribulations that the gold miners had to go through every day just to get some gold. But it's a beautiful area, and he was barman at that hotel in Pilgrim's Rest. And of course, everybody would come into the bar, the older generation, and they would then recount their stories for the tourists who arrived, etc. So it was, he was a mine of information, that's for sure.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds it. That's a good friend to have for sure.
Yes, yes. No, it was.
Yeah.
He was really a very exceptional man.
Yeah. Now, what lessons could we learn from these stories, or what lessons have you learned from your experiences?
Well, these, of course, in Africa, virtually behind every story, there's a moral. And I tried not to be too, overbearing with the morals, but I think many people do pick up the basic truth to each and every story, that basically we are not too far removed from animals, and compassion and understanding is very important. Mm. And we just have to work together and see the beauty around us, because there's enough sadness, there's enough cruelty. So just sit back and enjoy the goodness in life.
Yeah, more often you hear people talking about the bad than all the good that actually is going on around.
Well, exactly, and this is what I wanted with this book. I did not want to discuss the politics. Nope. I did not want to discuss the famine, etc. Fine, I do mention some of the history so that people know what we're talking about. I do give small bits of facts about animals so that people can learn. So it is a bit of an educational tool as well. Children specifically pick up small facts like, a rhinoceros cannot swim because his head is lower than his shoulders and he cannot lift it.
Mm.
You know, it's little things that you cannot find in a book.
Right.
And so I've tried to bring that in so that it is good, enjoyable reading for the whole family, clean, and I try to tell people that, look, you really don't have to swear.
Yeah.
Be really cruel to enjoy life.
Yeah.
Or to go further, you know, it's just one of those things. Maybe it's just me, but
no, I don't think it is.
Yeah,
I don't think it is. So basically, you know, wildlife in Africa then is a central theme throughout many of the stories.
Yes, wildlife is a central theme. There are other stories without wildlife, mm-hmm. but it's then the people come through.
Right.
You know, but you do even find insects.
All right.
There's a scorpion in there that was not a very happy person, you know.
We like the insects at our house. We like them to stay outside, and they can have the cellar, but sometimes they don't listen.
Yeah, no. I thought that leaving Africa and going to Switzerland, I will have less mosquitoes around me, but I find that they are all over the place.
They're very, they're a resilient little creature.
Not my favorite insect,
no.
That's for sure.
And with all the rain that we have gotten here recently, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
In bunches.
Exactly.
So what can you mention about an ostrich named Peril?
Oh. Well, yes.
Without giving away too much.
But all I can tell you then is that Peril is a really good prison guard.
A really good prison guard.
That's for sure. I could not move.
Oh, no.
And, of course, we do underestimate ostriches. You know, they are tall and they are dangerous and they look quite idiotic, but they are really very sneaky. So, yeah.
So wild animals are wild animals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even though they might run loose near a home or domesticated to a certain degree, those type of animals never, ever lose their wild side.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to be careful. You can't just go and pet a cub, a cheetah cub or a lion cub, just because he looks cute.
Yeah.
You have to be very careful. And unless he's completely domesticated and the owner is there, you don't touch them.
Mm-hmm.
Little things like that is important, and we just don't always think about them.
No, we don't always think. Yeah.
No. We just think, oh, how cute. You know?
Yeah, we react with our impulses way too much, I think, as a culture around, especially around here.
That's right.
Where I'm at. Yeah.
And I'm sure. Well, all over, even in South Africa, you know, people who live in the cities normally, they go out and they think, oh, that's so sweet, you know. And they just do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
It's not a cat. It's not a dog, you know. It's something different.
Something different that you don't know much about.
Exactly.
That's the other thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
So today's age, the modern age of, you know, the internet and blogging and emails and cell phones. My wife and I still do not have a cell phone.
Oh.
Yeah, don't like them. So the art of storytelling is basically wounded.
Yes.
I don't want to say disappearing, but because I think people are still telling stories, just not the same way, you know, unfortunately. But so the art of actually verbally telling these stories is disappearing.
Yes, it is very sad. And this is why I felt it was also so important to actually retell the stories as we used to, sitting around a campfire or, you know, even around a barbecue fire where people are together and you tell stories, and you relive your experiences. Because in the old days, especially in Africa, and I'm sure here in the American Indians, they used to pass their whole history on that way. In Africa, the old man of the tribe would sit around the fire, and he would teach the youngsters the history and the traditions of the tribes. By storytelling, nothing was ever straightforward. It was a story.
Mm.
And we lose that because, I mean, you can just think back to the Greek myths as well. Part of that is real history, but it's been entwined in beautiful storytelling. And now we doubt what is true and what's not.
Exactly. Yeah.
We shouldn't embroider too much. And
no, embellish too much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Just to
those are tendencies now. Yeah.
Yeah. There's an independent filmmaker in South Africa who wants to make a television series of the book.
Oh.
When he read it, he just finally said, "Oh, I'm sorry, but you're not going to like this. But I'm just going to tell you, I want this book for a television series." So,
wow.
I don't know why he thought I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, why?
I think he thought that I might be not liking the idea that it's it might be changed a bit. And he said, no, you have to write the screenplay as well.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's a lot of work for me.
Well, congratulations, though. That's a new adventure. That's nice.
Yes, that'll take a while. But
So I was going to ask you where your travels might take you next, but there it is.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, my last little bit of information that I know I'm interested in, and I'm sure anyone who listens to this would be as well, your view on alternative medicines or healing.
Oh, yes.
I know that's a big part of your life.
Yes, it is. It is. It's always been sort of part of my life, but I became really interested in about 15 years ago, and I've been doing it regularly. I'm a trained reflexologist, aromatherapist, color therapist, and various other things, but, I mean, we won't go into that. I just feel that the body, with the onslaught of all the chemicals that we pump into it, the body cannot handle it. And we just have to go back to basics to clean up and let the body heal itself. We find that we have the abilities within ourselves, but we just do not accept them, and we doubt our own thoughts, we doubt our own strength, and it's so sad, because let's face it, we all lived on alternate therapies and natural remedies, etc. It was only in the Second World War that changed everything, when after the war everybody was so readily accepted in the doctor's offices.
Oh, yes.
Before that, you had to treat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if we could go back to that, because then our stress levels and thought processes would also change, and we will most probably be a little bit kinder to each other.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, that would be great.
That would be great.
But I hope it's not wishful thinking.
I as well. I hope we both see it in our days.
I hope so, too.
Well, Marlene, I want to thank you for your time.
No, it's been my pleasure talking to you.
Ah, my pleasure. It was wonderful.
Good.
Thank you so much for your time.
No, I have to thank you. It's been really great talking to you.
Oh, it's been great listening to you.
Please.
So have a good rest of your day.
I just hope that this has whetted your appetite in visiting Africa now.
Oh, I've always wanted to go. The problem right now is traveling.
That's the point.
I'm not quite sure I want to go on a plane.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, that is our biggest decision nowadays.
Yeah.
Where to go?
Where to go? Am I safe?
Exactly. Thank you. You enjoy your day.
You as well.
Thank you very much.
You're
Bye
welcome.
Then.
Bye now. Bye.